Yeah, excuse me. Whoop, there it is. Good. So the world is getting to see real life stuff here. That's the thing, when you practice, it doesn't matter, but when you come live, everything can go wrong then. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. So as we follow Jesus through the book of Matthew, he's in Perea, which is on the east side of the Jordan River, still there ministering. So we just saw a few weeks ago that the rich young ruler came to him, and he basically sent him away because Jesus offered him to come follow him, but he had to sell all the things he had because that was his God. So he walks away. Now Peter and him are asking questions. Of course, Peter's the spokesman for the disciples. They're all thinking, but Lord, we've left everything to follow you. About us. So they have this question, what about us? What's in it for us, so to speak? Shouldn't we have more since we've been with you all along? And Jesus uses a parable today to kind of put the tone out there and set Peter and the disciples straight about this great salvation that God gives. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 20. Verses 1 through 16. So Jesus gives Peter and his disciples a lesson and instruction that's very important for them. And he tells them that they will rule with him in the new heaven and the new earth over Israel, he says. But then he also says that for all believers, that whatever you lose, whatever you've lost, Whatever you've given up in my behalf to follow me, I'll multiply for you in glory, in heaven. But then in verse 30 he says, but many who are first will be last, and last will be first. Because this now sets up this parable for us today. And we need to understand that this parable that Jesus is telling, the one that we're reading and sharing this morning, has nothing to do with rewards in heaven. It has everything to do with salvation. Nothing to do with rewards. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? Then they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they should receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. Very interesting parable Jesus tells this morning as we break this down over the next little while. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray, God, that you open our eyes to see what a great salvation you've given to us. And God, I thank you today that we have this parable, we have this illustration that you shared with your disciples there for our taking. We need to be reminded today in the church how your salvation is open for all who will believe. We're not to grumble, we're not to gripe, we're not to complain, but we're to give you glory that we're even saved at all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verses 1 and 2. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers, that's very important, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. First of all, we need to catch this, that the landowner went out to hire laborers. The laborers didn't come ask for a job. The landowner, the one who owned the vineyard, goes out to hire the laborers. He goes looking for those who have a need. So Jesus is giving this parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's using this very familiar agricultural setting that these people, his disciples, would understand and get. Because it was a common thing at their time there in Palestine, because there were many landowners who had vineyards that required a lot of labor. So let's be reminded of what a parable is. A parable is something that a common everyday story that people are familiar with, that's thrown alongside of a spiritual truth in order to instruct and inform the listener. So Jesus takes his very familiar story or setting or experience and throws it alongside something that is very unfamiliar to them. Jesus is trying to teach them a spiritual principle using a very physical setting. So the truth Jesus wants to teach them is how salvation works in the kingdom of God. And I believe that's a very important thing, because God's idea and understanding of how salvation works is often different than ours. And Jesus takes this opportunity to teach his disciples. Why? Why is this so important for his disciples to understand salvation? Because they're going to be leading the church. So Jesus begins his parable with the word for. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Now that word for there is sometimes used therefore. It means he's assigning a reason for this parable. That word for, meaning therefore, tells us that Jesus begins by explaining what he said in verse 30 that we left with last week. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So now Jesus tells this parable to explain what he meant there. But something's interesting here. Notice the last verse of our text this morning, verse 16 that we finished with, also says, so the last shall be first, and the first last. So Jesus is using this same thought as kind of like bookends for this parable. Theologians call this an inclusio. What it means is like, if you want to understand this parable, here it is, here it is, here's the bookends, I'm giving it to you. So this is what we're going to learn in this parable, that what does he mean that the first will be last and the last first? He's going to show us in this profound parable a truth concerning salvation in the kingdom of God. It's a great lesson because many people who are believers are really insecure about their salvation. Just for those who are really left brain, which doesn't really include me, if you notice verse 30 of last week and verse 16 of today, it says the same thing, but Jesus reverses the order in which it's said to further show God's equality in salvation among all people. Just a little something extra, throw it out there to you, do what you want with it. So this parable Jesus tells is a response to the disciples' current underdeveloped understanding about in salvation. So there is evidence in their desire to compare themselves to each other as well to other people that they really don't understand salvation. They're still trying. Jesus put to rest last week this works-based mentality about getting to heaven that way. Man, they're still dealing. There's still some details that they're working through. So, to get to these disciples and to teach them what they needed through, we need to work through some things here about this parable this morning. Verses 1 and 2 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard." So Jesus is taking this very familiar thing and throwing it alongside a spiritual truth. Well, we need to understand that the landowner here is God. The laborers here are believers. And the vineyard here is the kingdom of God. So we get those basic principles about what this parable. So one of the most valuable crops in Israel, we must grab this, at that time and even today, are grapes. The grape harvest was very labor intensive, and there was only a small window of opportunity to harvest the grapes. Because of inclement weather, the rainy season would be coming up very soon. So in Israel, they would usually grow the grapes. James, if we could, this is called terracing. Agriculture major, I love this stuff. Soils was my specialty in plants. This was terracing. What would happen, grapes in Israel weren't grown very well in the valley areas because of the temperature. A little too cool. Couldn't be grown on the top of the mountains either. So it had to be grown mainly on the side of the mountains. Well, to grow anything on the side of the mountains, they would have to terrace it off where it comes off, and they would create this flat area for the grapes to be grown. Well, this is labor intensive. This is before tractors. So this was man-made and animal-made stuff. So not only creating the terraces and maintaining the terraces every year and the soil, it was very important to do that. And it required a lot of people, a lot of labor, much less the grapes, the vineyard. If we could show the picture of the vineyard. There you go. Very labor intensive. Not many farm implements could work that area. It required people who could go through and make sure there was no pests going in. There's before good pesticides and herbicides and insecticides. So people were always going through this, and you had to prune these every year to have new growth, and with the new growth came the fruit. So each year this was done. You imagine going up and down the hill. We're flatland people here. Go to the mountains for a while and try to walk up and down those hills. See if you don't burn out pretty quick, because we're not used to that. These people had to go up and down this mountain constantly. Very labor intensive. And grapes were valuable to their culture. But they were difficult to get to market because of the conditions that were there, because it was so labor intensive to maintain and construct, first of all, and maintain. And they had a window of opportunity when the grapes became fully ripe to harvest, usually about the beginning of September to the middle of September to August, to October, October 1st. That was it, because the rainy season started. You know what happens if fruit is left on the vine and it begins to rain on it? It spoils. So they had a 2-week to a 4-week opportunity, depending on when the grapes became ready to harvest, only a small window of opportunity to get the harvest in. So you can imagine now, this landowner, this man who owned a vineyard, because he was not the only vineyard owner in this story, but here in this story, it's focused upon him. He goes out to get laborers before the rainy season started. So this scene is very common to the disciples. They immediately pick up on this story. Man, they ride in there, they're right in with it. But now it's being thrown aside a spiritual truth. So the landowner could not harvest all of these grapes himself. He needed to go to the marketplace to hire what we call some day laborers. These were men who were hired to work the crop and then be paid at the end of the workday. And they needed that money to provide for their family. That was the law from the Old Testament, is that a day laborer had to be paid at the end of the day. Verse 1 says the landowner went out early in the morning. Early in the morning is 6 a.m. So we need a timeline here to flow to help us understand how often this landowner went back out. The Jewish work calendar, daily work calendar, was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So there was a 12-hour shift, and you thought your 8 hours were bad. They worked from sun up to sundown, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the landowner goes out early in the morning, which is 6 a.m. We also read in the parable about the third hour, which is 9 a.m., the sixth hour, which is 12 p.m., the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., and he went out at the 11th hour, which is 5 p.m., because the end of the workday was at 6. So what we see is this landowner goes out 5 different times to hire day laborers from the marketplace. And what we find is that this approach by the landowner is very unconventional during those days. And the disciples weren't familiar with that. That was a little odd for them. So this landowner is very different. He's very unconventional. This landowner represents God. And God is not concerned about what men tend to be concerned about. So this landowner goes out. He goes out and he begins to recruit his first round of workers. And at this point, the disciples get it. They're right there with the story. They understand. He goes out, he hires the guys he needs for that day. So to understand, the landowner hires these men early to work the crops. They grab that. What they begin to lose understanding is that the landowner goes out 4 more times. The disciples here, hearing the story Jesus is telling them, this parable, they're getting a little confused now. He goes out these different hours during the day to get more workers. And the last one he hires is just for 1 hour. He already had a vineyard full. Why hire these guys for 1 hour? Now, something does kind of hit home with these disciples right away. They can't believe the generosity of this particular landowner. Verse 2 says, when he agreed with the laborers for denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. Why do they recognize the generosity of this landowner? Because a denarius was the pay for a well-trained, highly skilled Roman soldier. So the Roman soldier, who had all the skill, all the brawn, all of the ability to go to battle, was paid a denarius a day. Now here this landowner coming from the vineyard who's offering these day laborers who were unskilled and unemployed. He didn't shortchange him. He was very generous. He actually paid them far more than they were worth. So the landowner made a contract with these guys early in the morning for this group, one denarius for one day of work. And he didn't do that with the other hired laborers. But remember what Peter wanted? So this landowner has a contract with these guys at 6 o'clock in the morning for a denarius to work all day. That's what they wanted. What did Peter want? Back in verse 27 of the last chapter, we saw it last week. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" What then will there be for us? So a denarius is what would have been paid to this Roman soldier. Now it's being paid to these men, and it would be paid at the end of the day so they could support their family. So in this parable, we have these unskilled day laborers who this landowner has agreed in contract to pay them the same amount as the highly skilled, highly trained Roman soldier. He's being far more generous than expected. So let's work through the context here. Now in verse 3, we begin to see something confusing. So the disciples were on board. They got it. Landowner goes out, and these day laborers go out into the vineyard. And he's being very generous with them. He's paying them a denarius. Man, that's what the Roman soldiers are making. But now in verse 3, Jesus begins to show them something a little different than what they're used to. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour, which is 9 a.m. Now he went out at 6, now he's going back at 9, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. You can underline marketplace there in your Bible. Verse 4, and to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will pay you." And so they went. Notice no price is given here. And again, he went out about the sixth hour, which is 12 o'clock. And in the ninth hour at 3 o'clock, and he did the same thing. He hired the guys who were there at the marketplace, seeing that they had a need for work. So I'm pretty sure at this point, these disciples, man, they're scratching their heads because this familiar story is now taking a turn, taking a twist. And they're probably thinking, what is wrong with this landowner? Did he underestimate his needs for his vineyard? Does he even know what he's doing? He can't make a profit bringing in his grapes to market if he keeps hiring all this labor. Maybe he's just difficult to work for and other guys are quitting, so he has to come back and get some more. Maybe the work is so hard that the other guys don't want to be there and they're leaving. We don't know what the disciples are thinking, but I'm thinking right now, you know, I'm pretty sure that this is kind of going on. This is going in the northern part of the parish. This is going haywire. It's going off the track, so to speak. But what we do know is that this landowner is methodically and systematically going out into the marketplace every single shift in the workday. Every shift was 3 hours long. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 to 3. He was going out and finding more servants to place in his vineyard. So let's work through this parable a little bit more. So this landowner would go to the marketplace. The marketplace was the town square, the market square, where selling and buying and selling was going on, but it was the center of commerce there. And he was finding those who were idle. Now, these guys weren't lazy. They were unemployed, and they were just standing there waiting for somebody to hire them. They had families to take care of. They had themselves to take care of. They wanted to go to work, but they were unskilled and unemployed. So let's grasp some of the characters here. The landowner is God. The laborers are the believers. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. And the marketplace is the world. So we have this very generous landowner who continues to go out into the world and recruit poor and needy souls to come and serve in his vineyard. And he's paying them far more than they deserve. Systematically, the landowner's making his way to where those outside of his kingdom gather, and he is doing it to meet the needs of the people who recognize that they have a need. These men are gathered at the marketplace because they realize they have a need in their life. So here this landowner is going to the marketplace to hire them, to meet the need that they have. Because if you don't see your need, you can't be blessed by God. So the reason this parable was not making sense to disciples is that it was not meant to convey natural truths, but spiritual truths. Listen, a vineyard owner is not going to hire more people than he needs if he's going to bring his crop to the market and make a profit on it. He's just not going to keep hiring people. He's going to try to get by with exactly what he needs. So either Jesus is talking about an unwise businessman here, or an infinitely generous and caring God who longs to meet the needs of his people over and above what they have to offer or deserve. Isn't it interesting that all those second and third and fourth waves of laborers, they never discuss a price with the landowner. They just trusted the landowner. They just trusted if they follow the landowner and serve him. At the end of the day, verse 4 says, whatever is right, I will give you. They trusted that. The only guys who were looking for a contract were those 6 a.m. guys. They were looking for a contract. Now these disciples begin to realize what Jesus is doing, because he's speaking directly to them. He's looking at them. Verse 6 says, in about the 11th hour, 5 p.m. Workday closes at 6. 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. It's very obvious now. This landowner was not there because he had a need. He went back time and time and time again to find people who had desperate needs. They were the ones in need, not him. Up to this very last hour, this landowner went looking for those who were in their deepest need. Could you imagine a man wanting to feed his family and he has not worked all day long? These were day laborers. They got paid every day. If they didn't work that day, they did not get paid. It's the last hour. It's 5 o'clock. And the workday ends at 6 o'clock. No more labor is going on. And there's guys at the marketplace who have nothing to bring home to their families. Can you imagine this sense of desperation in this final hour. They're destitute. And along comes this landowner who hires them and puts them to work. The last hour, and the landowner is out seeking and saving the lost. What does this say about this last group? What does he say to this last group? Verse 7, the latter part of verse 7 says, you go into the vineyard too. He's telling these guys with 1 hour that they go too. Verse 8. And when 6 p.m. evening, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, now, want you to know, I'll throw this in there for you. The foreman is Jesus. Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Whoa. Wait, that 5 o'clock group that just worked for an hour just received the same pay as the guys who'd been there all day long since 6 o'clock that morning. What we have to see is that these guys who were all paid the same, meaning that the work had nothing to do with what they could do for the landowner, but it was what the landowner could do for those who recognized they had a great need. And that's what we need to know about salvation. There's no salvation if you don't first see that you have a need. If you don't see your sin, then you won't see the Savior. In the parable, these men saw that they had a need. The landowner came representing God. He went. He said, come on. And they went. So in this parable, why is Jesus paying the ones who come at 5 o'clock first? Shouldn't he be paying the guys who'd been there all day so that they could go home? Nope, Jesus does this intentionally. He wants his disciples to see how he is treating all believers who come after them, that they will receive the same salvation Jesus gives to them, and he shows it to these disciples deliberately. Verse 10. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more money, but each of them received a denarius. So the first group of guys hired saw how much the last group was paid, a denarius, and they only work 1 hour. We've been out here 12 hours. We'll probably get paid 12 denarius. Man, we're fine. Man, we can go buy that new car now, new camel. Twelve-hour guys thought they were going to be paid for their 12 hours of work, 12 denarius. And yet each one of them, each one on this first shift, the 6 a.m. guys were paid the same as the 5 p.m. guys. Verse 11 says, when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. Verse 12 saying, well, these last men worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. Notice a little arrogance in their attitude. You've made them equal to us. Verse 13. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Verse 14, take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Notice something is interesting, that this landowner is addressing one of the men who's complaining. I can just see Jesus addressing Peter. Why? Because back in verse 27 of the last chapter, Peter's the one who had the question, we've left everything, what about us? What's in it for us? He wanted a contract. He wanted to know what Jesus had in store for them. These 6 a.m. guys were the disciples. They walk with Jesus first. They're the first in the vineyard, so to speak. And Jesus is looking at him face to face and saying, Peter, friend, I'm not doing you anything wrong. If I choose to do for everybody else like I'm doing for you guys, then it's my business. That's sovereignty of God. I'm doing you no wrong. I'm thinking Jesus is looking right in the eyes of Peter when he said that. He said, take yours, verse 14, and go, but I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. And you can just imagine, he's looking at Peter saying that, and he turns to see the rich young ruler way down the road. He said, if I choose to give to others, the last man, the same as you, really, what business is it of yours? Verse 15 says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is it your eye envious because I am generous? Verse 16, so the last shall be first and the first last. Man, this parable shows us that salvation is not by what man can offer to God. You cannot work your way into heaven. Rather, salvation is all what God can offer to it in his compassionate grace toward our great need to be saved from our sin. This is not about rewards. So many people read this parable and they think it's about rewards, and it's not at all. It's about the great salvation that God gives that's equal to all people who will believe. The landowner kept going back throughout the day to the marketplace to find those who would see their need, present their need to him, and he would send them to the vineyard. Great grace was given to each one in the measure of his need. This 5 o'clock crowd had great need. Matter of fact, they had the greatest need of all because the day was coming to a close and they had nothing. It's only once they're in the vineyard, it's only once they're in the kingdom that they render service to the king. The amount of service they rendered has nothing to do with them being there. They were first put in the kingdom, then they were put to work. The denarius is salvation. We each receive the same salvation. And the disciples needed to hear that. They believed, since they had been with Jesus from the very beginning, the 6 a.m. guys, they believed that they should be greater than the 5 p.m. guys. And there are a lot of believers today who think they're better than other believers. Well, I never did that in my life. I didn't act like that, and I didn't do this. I don't have this rap sheet, and I don't have that rap sheet. There are people who grow up in church who are born-again believers who look at those who have been in the world for years and years and years and have destroyed so much of their life, and they come to Jesus, and somehow the church people think they're better than the ones who just come to Christ. Jesus shatters that. Man, the same salvation. Your sin was just as nasty and rotten and sent you to hell as a person who's done everything you can imagine. And some things you can't imagine. To defile themselves and to rebel against God. The same salvation is offered to them. What a beautiful, beautiful story. These disciples needed to hear that. They were Jewish, and man, they didn't eat this and they didn't eat that, and they thought they were walking with Christ first, so everything, they should be way up here, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus is letting them know, no. The thief, the prostitute, the adulterer, the murderer, all these people, go down the list of name whatever you want to name, who come, they see their need, they see the Savior, and the gift of grace is offered to them, and they say yes to Jesus. They go into the vineyard. Their salvation is just as great as yours. It's no different. So we grasp the meaning of verse 16. The last shall be first, and the first last. Do you see your great need for a Savior today? Do you see your sin? The Savior is offering you gift of grace today to be saved. Through this gift of faith, will you simply repent? By faith, turn to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Enter the vineyard. Are you at the marketplace, the world just standing, and you're seeing your need, and you know you need a Savior? The Savior's calling out for you today. And the same salvation that saved my wretched soul will save yours. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how bad you think you are, how much you think God doesn't want anything to do with you, you're the exact person that God is at the marketplace looking for. Because when you see your need, He invites you to the vineyard. Would you say yes to Him? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You today that we follow this storyline, God, and thank You so much that You save us, regardless of where we've been, what we've done, the life that we've lived. Your salvation is so great. Your grace is so sweet, we can't say no. You give us that gift of saving faith that we trust and believe and follow You to the vineyard. I pray for anyone here today, God, in the sound of my voice that's questioning their salvation, or it's unsure that they could live a life pleasing You, God. Just show them their need. Show them that You love them. God, show them that You're the only answer. Because, God, You're inviting them to Your vineyard. Thank You, God, for a salvation that is so great it's beyond our own comprehension and words, because You have given us far more than our needs and far more than we deserve. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.